and testimonies in a service, it's that you'll get the doctrine of God. In the songs, as you sing, you are reading the doctrines of God. I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord. Have you got any mountains that you think are uncrossable, or any rivers you think are uncrossable? Are there any mountains you can't tunnel through? God specializes in things that are impossible. The doctrines of God are coming out right in the songs. And he put a light down in the valley that I might see the way. I can almost see that city just beyond, just over yonder's hill. And as we begin to look at these, we sing these songs, the doctrine of God is being fed to us. And our spirits begin to rise. And then a person gets up and they're through a testimony. And the doctrine of God is promulgated again. That's why we teach, do not get up and begin bringing a lot of negative things in a testimony. That's the doctrine of Satan. That's what we teach. Don't get up and start moaning and groaning. I'm sick. I have a hard time believing. And my throat is sore. And I can hardly talk. And you have to excuse me because I can hardly make it. And I'm not sure if I've got it. I'm not sure about this. And I'm weak. And I got troubles. And I did this. And that's the doctrine of Satan. That doesn't edify anybody. Everybody goes in a damp. And you get up and say, I thank God he holds my hand. You don't have to tell us you're imperfect. We know that. You just tell her how he's perfect. He's wonderful. He'll see you through. You don't have to tell us all about your problems and all your strain. We already know that. That's human. That's natural. So that's the doctrine of Satan. That lifts people. Praise the name of the Lord. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. We left off last time with verses 6 and 7. Be not over anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. This morning we're starting off with verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. This is the doctrine of God. This is the example of how we keep our minds full of the doctrine of God. Now here, he's giving us an example of spiritual food to eat, because you are what you eat, physically and spiritually. This is the doctrine of God he's giving us to eat. He says, feed upon it. You see those, we can see the Satan's doctrines are opposites. Whatsoever things are true, think upon. Satan brings things that are untrue. Whatsoever things are honest, is God's doctrine. Satan brings things that are dishonest. Whatsoever things are just, Satan's ways are unjust. Whatsoever things are pure, Satan's doctrines are impure. Whatsoever things are lovely, Satan's doctrines are unlovely. Whatsoever things are of good report, Satan brings, his doctrine brings evil report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. If there be any death, or if there be any things that are unlovely and miserable, then and if that was a virtue, you'd think on Satan's doctrines. There are two doctrines, the doctrines of God and the doctrines of Satan. This points up the necessity of guarding our thinking. It's important to guard our thinking that we might have the doctrine of God and not the doctrine of Satan, and it's also important to guard our heart, that it only has God's doctrine in the heart. Not only do we come through our mind and what we can hear and see from outside, but also what we grasp on to in the heart and hold on to. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Now things come through here. You hear things in radio and outside in various places, and they pass in and log in the memory. But don't hold on. Don't let your heart get it. Don't let it filter to your heart, because if you do, you'll start speaking it. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And be careful you don't feed your mind with too much of it. You might find that it'll be seeped up by the heart, and you'll start speaking it. You must keep a double guard on our thinking and on our heart. Now this says finally, brethren. This is the second finally in Philippians. The first finally is in Philippians 3:1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. The first finally is in your new Christian life now, amid all the trials that will come, rejoice in tribulations. But this second finally is finally imbibe the mind of Christ. Be perfect. Think upon things that are lovely and right and pure and good. Now, your thinking leads to your becoming. And your becoming leads to your doing. We see this truth in the next verse, verse 9. Those things which ye have both learned, see, you've heard them, and received with your heart, and you heard with your ears, and you've seen in me do with your eyes, or seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Now, if you've learned something, you've received it, you've heard it, and you've seen it in Christ, do it. Not just hear and think and so forth, but do. And you will do what you, as you think you become, and what you become, you do. You will become either the servant of Christ or the servant of Satan in whatever you do. Whatever you do, you yield yourself as an instrument of righteousness or of unrighteousness, as Mark read to us this morning. Satan wants us to think so that we will become, so that we will do, so that we will fall. That's why he wants to put thinking in your mind. Why does he want you to think in what he puts in? Well, so you'll become that, so you'll do that, so you will fall. The wages of sin or death. Thinking leads not only to life, the life you live, but it also leads to your character. You will become what you think. He wants us to think upon godly things and God's word that we might become Christ-like. If you're taking up the things of self, you become selfish. Taking up the things of materialism, you become materialistic. Taking up the world, you become worldly. Taking up the lust, you become lustful. Taking up the Christ, you become Christ-like. He wants us to become Christ-like because we're going to marry him, and he wants to marry somebody who's like him. He doesn't want to have incompatibility in his marriage. And we're going to live with Christ. He wants to be at home in our hearts. The Holy Spirit wants to come in and settle down and be at home. Here we see in this eighth verse a descending scale. He starts with the highest things first and goes down the line. Even from the greatest to the least, he's teaching us. And he starts off with whatever things are true. Truth is the top of the list. Truth. Because whatever is true is reality. Truth is reality. That's what's true. It either happened or it didn't. Either God created this world or he didn't. Either he's God or he isn't. Either he's going to come and take us home or he isn't. Either there's a hell and a heaven or there isn't. And we start off with what's true. Well, if you're going to know what's true, you've got to have God's doctrine, because he is the truth. Jesus said, I am truth. God is the norm of truth. Satan is a lie. So the first thing you have to have is God's doctrine if you're going to know the truth. And if you want to be God's doctrine, then listen to the truth. You have to understand God if you want truth. The opposite of truth is deception. And if you listen to the lies of Satan, you know what it will do to you? It'll cause you to wander away from God. When you begin getting lies, it'll cause you to wander away. The more lies you get from Satan in doctrines of the word, in doctrines, or in your bitterness of the heart, or the way you think, or anything in life, you'll start wandering away from God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 7 through 12. 2 Thessalonians 2. Speaking of the Antichrist coming, for the mystery of iniquity, or lawlessness, the Greek is, doth already work. Only he who now restraineth will restrain until he be snatched up out of the midst. I'm reading like the Greek reads it. And then shall that lawless one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall bring to naught with the brightness of his manifestation. Even him whose presence or coming is after the energy of Satan, with all power, dunamis, and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. These people have imbibed the doctrine of Satan. And so God says, I'm not going to let them come to the light. To come to the light, they won't follow it because they've already set their heart. See, people say, well, why does God want them to be damned? Why does he damn them? Why does God send strong delusion? Only as a fable, that's all. Because these people have received not the love of the truth. Now, that's important. That love of tells us something very important. It isn't just that they haven't received the truth. They have not received the love of the truth. They do not love the truth. They do not want the truth. They will not believe the truth. Even if they've got the truth, when they hear the truth, they reject it. And therefore, if God does not bring them delusion, they will come under greater condemnation and greater damnation. And so because they do not love the truth and will not receive the truth, he allows them to be deceived by lying spirits that they might operate by what they think is the truth and therefore have less condemnation come upon them in the lake of fire because they were doing the best that they knew to do, but they were deceived. Yes, they were deceived because they did not want the truth. Any person that seeks light will find it. Every person that seeks truth will find it. You have to be careful about the doctrines you imbibe. Every person who tries to begin to take God's word and twist it to get favor and to think and find something, he begins to look around and put it together in ways that God did not intend and in ways to feather his own nest and to uphold his organization and to fight against that which is not traditional to him and would not go along with what he's got. He is playing with Satan's doctrine, and he better watch out because he'll never find the truth in that. People come and say, well, the Bible says the Holy Spirit leads and guides us in all truth, and he's got the Holy Ghost. How come he's in the ill? Because he receives not the love of the truth for that particular doctrine. He refuses that doctrine. He refuses to even look at the truth. Therefore, the Spirit of truth cannot lead him into truth because he will not have the truth, and he can be filled with the Holy Spirit, but he will believe a lie, and God will never get through to him until he's willing to open his heart to the truth in that particular area. That's why there are spirit-filled people believing wrong things today. And doctrines of demons even, and contrary things to the word of God, and contrary to other saints who are spirit-filled, only because they have received not the love of the truth for that particular area. They do not open and say, Lord, whatever it is, I'll take it. They want it within a certain framework. They want it within the doctrines of Satan in certain areas, although they don't understand it. Nevertheless, that's what happens. God does them a favor by blinding their eyes, that they have less condemnation. God is so wonderful, he'll even help you in hell by making it less for you. By blinding you so that at least you've done out of ignorance. You put ignorance upon you, so at least you can say, I've done out of ignorance. Well, I meant to. And see, I know, you didn't want the truth, so you've got... God is merciful, tremendously merciful. The scripture says, buy the truth and sell it not. Proverbs 23:23. Buy the truth and sell it not. That's a good verse. You know the 23rd Psalm? This is Proverbs 23:23. Remember it. Buy the truth and sell it not. The truth is the top of the list. It's important. The truth is the doctrine of God. Build a wall around your heart and around your mind and defend that wall. Check the passport of every visitor that comes through the gate of that wall to your heart and to your mind. Check his passport. Don't let any doctrine come in without checking the passport. Find out whether Satan has stamped it or whether God has. And protect yourself. Sample the issue of your heart to see if the current is bringing down mud or gold. Sample every so often what's in your heart and see whether you got mud in there or whether you got gold. An artist paints what's in him. Have you seen some of this? They have this, some of this modern art is called abstract expressionism. It's an act of expressing. And you see a person comes up, and he grabs a brush, and somebody's mad painted, you know? And you look at it, and you say, you know? And he's just expressing himself. Well, that's the truth. That's exactly what he is inside. Confused. Babbling, mixed up, mad and angry with reds and blacks. And he's storming around. He doesn't know. He's all confused. That's he's coming out. The doctrine's coming out on his canvas. And you got that beat of the jungle. You got the beat and the beat and then the jerking of the head and the snapping of the fingers. A musician, he's just preaching his doctrine through music, that's all. What's inside will come out. I read just the other day that they said, well, the colored man lost something when the missionary came into Africa and brought him gospel songs and brought him the milk and gospel. He lost the certain, I don't know how to say it exactly, but this particular article said he wants to regain something to do with, he had some something about the spirits, anyway, it said, but the spirits, and he's lost something when the American missionary came in. That's right, he did lose something. He lost that old devil beat. And a lot of them are trying to get it again and bring it into the church, this doctrine of Satan. It came out of the jungles. That's where they got it. That's why they writhe like a snake and beat and shake their head. They act just like a serpent. And that's where the beat came. And that beat was picked up in New Orleans by also Africans that came from, whose forebears came from Africa, brought into the jazz bands in New Orleans. It's been promulgated into songs. And then Christian folks are trying to listen to it, take the doctrine of Satan, and come right into the church with it. And we say, oh, no, we're not brainwashed. That's how brainwashed we are. We don't even know we're brainwashed. We're so brainwashed. And it's the doctrine of Satan. It came right from the jungle. It has an affinity with the spirits. It lines right up, and the spirits begin to move. And they begin to act just like the spirits. And so there are people today that call themselves the children of God. And they play hard rock. They admit it as hard rock. And they're playing the devil's doctrine to worship God. But it's a howling in the ears of God. And they don't know what they're doing. And it's hurting them. And that's why they look, act, and do the things they do sometimes. An orator, a philosopher, speaks what's in him. Christian prays and sings and worships and studies and works concerning what's in him. Oh, he may go a time and pretend, an actor will pretend, but in the long run, you will be what you are. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You will show forth. Whether you're reading God's word, whether you love the things of God, whether you love to be around Christians and teach and listen to Bible things, or whether you're always talking about something opposite of God because when you're out of church because you're not interested in things. That's a thermometer. Check yourself. If you never want to talk about Jesus, never want to talk about the things of God, never want to talk about his word, never want to read it, that's a thermometer. You better look. It's clear down there below freezing. But if you're always talking about Jesus and you love his word and you love the things of God, why not let you know where your heart is? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Check yourself. Find out where you are. Let me give you an example in the book of Luke, chapter 15, of a boy who began to listen to Satan's doctrines. Luke 15, 11. And Jesus said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto him his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there wasted his substance with riotous living, debauchery. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and he joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Now let me give you some probabilities. We don't know. This is just given so brief. But let's just give some probabilities of some of the lies that Satan must have been feeding this prodigal son with. First of all, the first lie is that his father owed him his portion. Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. I have a right. I got my right. I have a certain portion that falls to me. But that was a lie from Satan. See, Satan began to make him feel like that he had rights. When I want to leave, I'm of age and I want my portion. But the law said that the firstborn got twice as much as the second, and at the death of the father, everything was divided into three ways. And the eldest son, if he had two sons, and the eldest son got two portions, and the next son got one. Or if he had five children, it would be divided in six ways. And the eldest got two portions, and the other five each got one portion. But that was at the father's death. But I want you to notice something. If there were two sons, divided in three ways, two got one and one got the other. So the younger said, I want my third right now. Well, what if the elder said, I want my two-thirds right now? What would the father be? It wasn't his yet. His father didn't keep gold in the bank. His wealth was out in the farm. He undoubtedly had to sell much of the farm to give the boy his right then. That meant the father had less right then for himself and for the servants and for his elder son right then. He had less. And he had less to build with even for his other elder son. It wasn't his until he died. But that's the way sinners are. They want everything right now. He said, then I'll expect nothing else when you die. I want everything right now. When I die, I'll expect nothing. And they'll get nothing. But they want it all right now. That's a lie. I'm not rebelling, Father. I'm just of age. I just feel a need to go out. I'm not rebelling, but that's a lie. He was rebelling. The very reason that he wanted to go out away from his father's house into a far country and live in a different way is because his heart was rebelling with that which was in his father's house and the whole way of manner of life. He was rebelling. But then he said, oh, no, you're not rebelling. I just want to go out. I just want to be on my own a while. But he's rebelling. A lie. That goodness, well, goodness is too boring. See, it's boring. Just every day you're doing, you know, it's just too boring. Sin is fun. Righteous living is fun. Therefore, it's a better life. I'm going out there because I'll be happier. That's a lie. You won't be happier out in the world. But Satan tells you you'll be happier. All the blinking lights and all the dancing figures and all the... He'll paint a picture out there. But behind it is death. Well, I won't get... I've had good bringing up. I can control myself. I can control myself. I won't get too deep. That's a lie. You can't control yourself. You start off in the doctrines of Satan, you'll get deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. And before long, you'll be doing things that you wouldn't think you'd ever do. You cannot control yourself when you're walking down the devil's road. That's a lie. But the Satan will say, oh, yeah, you can control yourself. I'll only go so far. No, you won't only go so far. I know a person who got an usher who, at a church I went to one time. He got bitter at another usher. Some personal matter. I didn't know what the matter was. And he was going to leave the church because of it. And I talked to him. And I told him. I said, if you leave the church, you'll backslide. Oh, no, I won't backslide. He said, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. And I said, no, but all Christians go to church. And if you can go to church and you don't, you'll backslide. I never saw one who didn't. You will. Oh, no, I won't. And pretty soon I found out he was going to a Presbyterian church. Pretty soon he was going to no church. Pretty soon he took up smoking again. And when I saw him, he wasn't interested in spiritual things at all. When I knew him, I was going on the mission service with him. He had a wonderful heart to win souls off of Skid Row. Last I saw him, he was on Skid Row himself, not down there actually, but he was up there on Skid Row spiritually. He had no interest in things of God. He just had a doctrine of Satan came in, that's all, bitterness. Just another doctrine of Satan then was just to leave the church because after all, I don't have to go to be a Christian. And then another doctrine, you don't have to go to spirit-filled church. You know, they're good churches too. They believe in Jesus. You don't have to go to spirit-filled church, you know. And step by step, Satan led him down the road, and he found he couldn't control himself. And neither can you. Well, after all, Dad, you just don't understand. I mean, you know, you were living way back in the days of Moses. Don't you know, Dad? This is a modern time. I mean, Dad, this is 30 A.D. This is modern. We're right up to date. This is a, you know, we're living in modern days today. This isn't 1500 B.C., Father. This is 30 A.D. now. You have to realize this is a new age. And as youth, we understand things you don't. You're too antiquated, Dad. You don't understand. We got to get out. And, you know, but isn't it strange that youth knows who has just come up out of the school with other youth and listening to other youth who just came out of babyhood and childhood, and he only listens to other youth. Isn't it strange that all the youth who come out of childhood know everything, and those who've lived for sometimes don't, and then after they know it, and as they get going along, they forget it all and lose it all, and the older they get, the less they know? And Dad just doesn't understand, but the boy understands. Isn't that strange? The longer you live in life, the less you know. And those who just came out of babyhood know the most. Isn't it strange? That's the devil's doctrine. The thing is, the father knows because he was once a youth and he was once listening to the devil's doctrine. And somehow, by the mercy of God, he got through it. And the elders helped him and so forth. And he's learning. He's made mistakes. And through it, he can see it. And he can see his son going the same way. And he says, son, don't you understand? He said, Dad, you don't understand. The problem is, Dad does understand. If he's a spiritual father, I'm talking about now. I mean, if he walks with God and knows God. He may not understand if he's in darkness and the children happen to be in light. But I'm not talking about that. This is a case of, well, they were both in Israel. Well, spending is better than building. All the father does is, you know, he takes the wheat and so forth, and he's building, and his farms and blessing and increasing, and he gets more sheep, and he gets more cattle, and he gets more servants, and he gets better clothes, and that's just building, but that's just the old mundane, you know, the old roof. Why, spending is a lot more fun. Spending is a lot better. That's a lie. He found that out, spent himself out. Good friend, he had friends out there, you know. He got good friends when the wine flows freely, and all the women love him. He loved to rub his hands through his hair. He's such a handsome fella. He's such a good friend until his money's gone. And he can't find a woman. He can't find a friend. They're all gone. He looks around the space all around him. All of a sudden, he's got no friends. His money's gone. They're not your friends. Not really. Fun will last forever when you're away from God, but it doesn't last forever. The wages of death. A far country. If I go away to a far country, I can forget my father's house. I can get away from it, but nobody will see me. That's a lie. He's the all-seeing eye. He watches every move you make. There's no far country as far as he is concerned. Not only that, but you can't forget the father's house. Once you've been a son of Israel, you'll never forget it. You cannot go out and live the same before you came to God. There's not a Christian who backslides who ever is the same as before he came to God. You go back and backslide and you're miserable, more miserable, 10 times miserable than you ever were when you were a sinner before you knew God. Once you've been a son of Israel, you cannot be happy unless you're walking with God. And you're living in misery. Lies that it's a better life out there. He found out. He finally came to himself. The doctrine of God finally got through to him. And he stood up and he saw the mess he was in, how far he had fallen, far he had fallen. He never thought he'd be down there wanting to get food out of a pigsty. For an Israelite to feed pigs is about the lowest occupation that he could think of. Unclean animal, against the Deuteronomic law. Israelites hated pigs. For him to go to have to feed a bunch of hogs and wish he could eat the same food the hogs were eating, he was reduced to a pretty miserable state. He never expected that. He never wanted that. He never wanted to go that way. He didn't know what it was going to lead him to. But Satan had a different picture. You see, Satan had a different picture. There was a picture out there of fun, young man. Picture out there with the world, and they'll offer you, see, they'll offer you money for your talents. You young men that can sing beautifully. Young ladies, they might offer you $1,000 a week, and it'll turn your head to get out there for $1,000 a week. You might make a mint out there, you'll lose your own soul. Better to give it away free for the gospel's sake. Keep the love of Jesus. Well, what doctrines do we believe? Let's take a few just quickly. If you're facing terrifying floods, spiritual floods in front of you, then you remember the doctrine of God that says, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Isaiah 43:2. When you're facing financial uncertainties, you can remember the doctrine of God that says, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Jesus Christ. Philippians 4:19. Or you can remember the doctrine of God that says, only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider how great things he's done for you. 1 Samuel 12:24. Or commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust in him, also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Psalm 37:15-5. Or if you're burdened down with heavy burdens, remember the doctrine that says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. 1 Peter 5:7. If you're afflicted, and you remember the doctrine of God that says, blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law. Psalm 94:12. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Psalm 119:67. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Psalm 119:71. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. 1 Peter 4:13. These are the doctrines of God. If reverses come upon you, or distresses come upon you, then you remember the doctrines of God, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28. Oh, for his anger endureth but for a moment. For a moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies I will gather thee. Isaiah 54:7. If you have physical problems, sickness, or opposition comes against you, then you can read, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Romans 8:18. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Psalms 34:19. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. Psalms 138:7. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched for the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Hebrews 4:15. The Bible's full. It is the doctrine of God. You can always find the answer. If you're in fear, read Isaiah 14:3. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith, that the Lord shall give thee rest from thy sorrow, and from thy fear, and from the hard bondage wherein thou hast made to serve. Exodus 14:13. And Moses said to the Lord, fear ye not, to the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you this day. And you can encourage your heart out of many, many scriptures, even those that applied, that was applied to them, because it also applies to you. These scriptures were given for our admonition, on whom the ends of the world are come, the Lord said. These scriptures are given for our admonition, for our help. We might look back and see how God helped them, and we might also then stand, and like I said concerning the message this morning, that when these things come upon us, we can look back and begin to recount the doctrines of God, what God had did for Israel and for Abraham and for David and for his children, and then to know that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. And we, in those doctrines, we dispel the doctrines of Satan, we overrule them, and we say it stands written. We claim the doctrines of God by faith, and we can walk, therefore, in the victory. And Paul says, therefore, and then Paul says that he will keep your heart in peace, in peace. Peace can only come in the knowledge of the truth. When you're fearful, that's the opposite of faith. That's a lie. Doubting is the opposite of faith. And you know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Amen. Peace comes when you've got the truth that God loves you and will take care of you. You understand?